Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. It's Adam here. I hope you're all very well. Today, I'd like to do one of those daft things that critics tend to do. I'd like to talk for nearly 9 minutes about a record that only lasted for 2 minutes and 20 seconds. I believe it to be the greatest piece of rock and roll ever committed by an English band. You Really Got Me by The Kinks.
Wonderful Radio London.
Big L.
Okay, I've put the record on here. The 7-inch single with the lurid pink label. Putting it on my beloved 1966 Dansette Viva record player, still in perfect working order. It's the record that I still believe to be the greatest piece of rock and roll committed by any English group. When they started out back in 64, the Kinks had been just another white boy four-piece, drawing from the already dwindling well of black rhythm and blues standards, along with the rest of the herd. But by the August of that year, with the release of only their third single, the Kinks had established themselves as one of the most inventive forces in pop. The Kinks' suburban guerrilla sound exploded into the nation's consciousness with the advent of You Really Got Me, with its now famous arresting two-chord intro. This ferocious, barking guitar sound was discovered, according to legend, when lead guitarist Dave Davies slashed the cone of the speaker of his amp. Such thuggish undertones are entirely in keeping with this oral mugging masquerading as pop music.
You really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night.
Even this early in his career, Ray Davies is already a singular writer, turning the staple boy-meets-girl scenario into something altogether more startling. Here, it's boy-stalks-girl. It is not soppy. It's clammy. It is the kitchen sink drama of love songs, all hormonal and greedy and real. Late in life, Sophocles stated that he welcomed the onset of dwindling libido, comparing the feeling to that of being unchained from a lunatic. In You Really Got Me, Ray Davies is that lunatic. In the lyric, said lunatic is leaping around before the object of his desires, pleading, begging for the act that had been invented, according to Philip Larkin, just 1 year earlier, in 1963. This tragicomic image is very much of its time and would not have been out of place as a scene in a newly sexually free English New Wave movie of the day. Richard Lester's The Knack, say, or Carol Rise's Morgan, A Suitable Case for Treatment. Consider the chart topper immediately prior to You Really Got Me. That was Have I the Right by the Honeycombs. It featured a typically rumbustuous arrangement and quirky production job from the great Joe Meek, recorded just down the road from here on the Holloway Road. But all Joe Meek's trickery masks a nimby-pimby lyric, which begs the question, have I the right to kiss you? The lyric of Davies's first number one typifies the sea change in social mores away from the polite concerns of the Honeycombs. There stands Davies, a pleasingly seedy, gap-toothed Lothario, not so much kinky, a word that had entered broader circulation thanks to the spank-me antics of John Profumo and his political chums that brought about the fall of the Tory government of the period, so not so much kinky as primal, ape-like, flagrantly strutting his stuff and begging for it. There are, of course, antecedents in the history of rock and roll, a form, after all, that takes its very name from an old jazzman's euphemism for sex. The Black Blues catalogue may well heave with sexual tension, it does. But You Really Got Me is that blues sensibility viewed through the prism of the fevered imagination of a white suburban Englishman. And as such, it is the first British number one record to take the sexual revolution as its theme. The obsessive lyric is underpinned by an arrangement that is nothing less than a knuckle-dragging classic. Its influences are plain. Louie Louie is there for all to see. There's Motown here too, with a tambourine riding just under the bass throughout, a subliminal exhortation to dance, common to many a record that came out of the great city of Detroit. But its influences are less manifold than the influence it would beget. The early recorded Who were flagrant copyists. There are shards of You Really Got Me in everything from the Troggs right down to the Hives. Many cite it as a proto-punk classic, the record that launched a million garage bands. It is even credited, in some quarters, with the invention of heavy metal. Essentially, two punchy chords, changing key twice. The music is as rudimentary and direct as the desire expressed in the lyric. The bridging chords between the first and second verse, where the song is taut and pent up in D, dropping to a C chord, functions almost as a deep breath, lest the song, already frenzied, spends itself too soon. We repeat with the addition of a high, vamping piano part, Motown influence here once more, but also an expressionist alarm bell ringing as the sexual tension mounts. Guitar breaks and guitarists have long been satirised in cod Freudian terms, but the frantic spank of 17-year-old Dave Davies' solo is the element that most lends the song its lurid, onanistic air. A chimera of a riff, essentially a repeated figure, part punk Chuck Berry, part cocky welfare state-reared swank. It winds the song up even higher. Once more, Chuck Berry-like, the solo smoothly glides back into the rhythm part, and we're back to the obsessional repetition of the lyric. Please, never to be set free. Allusions to clammy, sleepless beds. Shameless confessions to having lost control. Then, suddenly, with four jackknifing D chords, the peak of the chord progression, the tune is cut off in its prime. What caused this musical coitus interruptus, we wonder? An irate father aiming a boot at the rump of our lover, sighing like furnace with his woeful ballad. Did the police arrive? The sudden stuttering ending leaves the listener wanting more. In typically contrary Davies fashion, he would soon abandon such primitive music to his copyists and take his band on to tales of dissipation, dissolution and, well, gardening in a fascinating songwriting career of nearly 50 years standing. But this record remains ground zero for anyone wishing to acquaint themselves with the Kinks. Many a lesser act would have burned themselves out trying to outdo such a monumental first big hit. That the Kinks seemed not in the slightest bit fazed by their own landmark reveals the unshakable confidence that is a hallmark of the native Londoner.